Today, I have the honor to introduce the two very important people in my life. Just before I bring the bishop up, I want to introduce someone who is my father, the number one person in my kingdom, the King of Agbara Oto, Delta State, Nigeria, His Royal Majesty King Richard, and our Queen. We want to thank you for coming to not just Canada, for coming to Steinbach, for being present with us at the EFC. It is a very beautiful place with a beautiful weather. I believe you can testify to that already. Thank you for coming, for leaving your kingdom and flying all the way here just to celebrate this, your boy, this, your son. I want to also say thank you for the encouragement, the prayers, the blessing you have proven to me that fatherhood is with a large heart. Thank you. God bless you. Wosuto. Also, I want to introduce my father in faith, the one who ordained me, the one who groomed me, trained me in the ministry, whom I still report to, who is the head of the Stanley Dugan World Outreach Ministries and also the Bishop of Historic Miracle Center, Church of God Mission International, Benin City, Nigeria. Join me, receive Bishop Olawale Babafemi Ajayi.
Praise God. All right. So where I come from, we say praise God, you say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So when I say that in the course of my preaching, just respond. Is that okay? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You got it. So I want to first of all give glory to God for the privilege and the opportunity to be here to share the word of God with you and just to share fellowship with you. When I'm here, I'm seeing that God loves his people. And we are one body all over the world, irrespective of the color of race. We are God's people, and God loves all of us the same. Somebody say amen. I want to honor Pastor Ernie and Pastor Diane. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here, and to my brother, Pastor Stanley, because of you, we're here. You came to Steinbach, and we're here because you came. Let's appreciate him, please, one more time. Thank you. And also, I want to honor the king and the queen. In Nigeria, in Africa, a king is a king. He might not be the king of my kingdom, but he's a king. So we honor you too. Ajuel Wosuto. Is the cross? No, it's fine. Ajuel Wosuto. Yeah, I tried. Somebody say, and the queen too. Praise the name of Jesus. So I just go straight to the point because of time. I'm going to do perform a miracle because I normally speak for an hour. Yeah, an hour and some. You know, I'm the bishop and you don't tell the bishop to round off. And so, but I'm going to speak for 25 minutes and I'm going to put a one-hour teaching into 25 minutes. So pray for me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'll pick what I consider important in the conversation, in the teaching, and then leave the others. I'd like to start by saying that God's faithfulness towards us is not a reaction to us. When God is faithful to us, he's not faithful to us because we are faithful. He's faithful because that's who he is. So my unfaithfulness does not make God unfaithful. So God is faithful because that's who God is. God is faithful. So his faithfulness to me is not a reaction to my faithfulness. But knowing that he's faithful, regardless of my unfaithfulness, inspires me to be faithful. Do you understand that? So God is not reacting to me. He is faithful to me because that's who he is. So the scripture we read says that the steadfast love, the word steadfast, it's consistent. right? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And that is the character of our God. That is who our God is. When Jesus came into the world, when God became human, what we call the incarnation, Jesus, God in the flesh, in John chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2 says, and the Word, maybe I should read it because of time. Good. They were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. All right? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. That word grace and truth is steadfast love and faithfulness. Steadfast love and faithfulness. So when Jesus came to when Jesus came to the world, he revealed who God is, and what he showed us about God that they could see was that God is faithful and God is gracious. God is full of steadfast love and God is faithful. Praise God. Praise God. All right. And so when you see the word faithful, it speaks, the picture that comes to my mind and comes to our mind must be the posture or the commitment of a parent to their child because of that blood connection. So parents have a connection with their children, and it's peculiar to parents and children. For example, maybe, I don't know how it happens here, but in Africa, if a child is sick, the mom does not go to the salon. What do you call where you do your hair in Canada? The Steinbach. Is it the same word? Fantastic. So a child is in the hospital sick, and you ask, oh, where's the mom of this child? Oh, she went to the salon to fix her hair. Glory to God. Oh, she had to go fix her nails. Does it work like that? No way. If a child is in the hospital, where should the mom be? Ideally, all right, in the hospital. Now, that push, that commitment, that picture is the picture of faithfulness. That at no point does the mom abandon the child. Even when God was trying to teach Israel of his faithfulness, he said, what he used was, can a woman forget her sucking child? And he then said, they may forget, but I will not forget you, for I have engraven you on the palms of my hands. Praise the Lord. All right. So we see God as faithful God. So when Jesus shows up in the world, revealing to us the true character of God, what he shows us is a God who's gracious, who has steadfast love, and who is faithful to us. Praise God. Now, this love of God is not something, God left us with our imagination to start to wonder or think about. What, when we say God loves us, what does it mean? When we say God loves us or God is faithful to us, what exactly does it mean? The Bible is clear. In Romans chapter 5 from verse 8, the Bible says, for God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ did what? Died for us. Let's see that. Romans 5 and verse 8, it says, God demonstrates or shows his love towards us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more we shall be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we are enemies, we're reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So God did not just say to you or you and I love you. He showed it. Am I making sense to you? He didn't just say, oh, I love you. No, he showed it. He proved it. And how did he show it? He showed it by the sacrifice of his son for our salvation. Now, I think 3 years ago, my wife asked me a question. She doesn't talk much. She doesn't talk much. But she, yeah, she doesn't talk much. She doesn't. So she just asked me the question. It's like, Wale, this is what she said. Who should we fear? Is it the one who killed his enemy or the one who killed his son to save his enemies? Now, I'd never thought about it. I've been preaching for many years. I'd never thought about it like that. That God actually put his only son to death to save not his friends, but his enemies. Help you understand, the Bible says we were the enemies of God. By our actions and our thoughts, we're enemies of God. And as enemies of God, we deserved to be punished because God is a just God. But the challenge with the justice of God is that who should face God's judgment is who God loves. Am I making sense to you? Am I making sense at all? Now, for example, there's a scripture in Judges chapter 11 where Jephthah made a vow. And he told God, I'm going to fight a war. If I win this war, whatever comes out of my house first, I will offer to you as a burnt sacrifice. It's in the Bible. Don't be scared. It's in the Bible. All right? And Jephthah comes home after he wins the war. And the Bible says, who came out first to receive Jephthah was his only daughter. Only child. No brother, no sister. Now, put yourself in Jephthah's shoes. If you were Jephthah, what would you do? That who came out first from your house is your only child. Now, that story, like other stories in the Bible, have a redemptive connection. That story shows us where God found himself. The just God says, the soul that sins shall die. But the just God is also the Savior. That sinner who should die must be saved. Now, how does God satisfy his justice at the same time save who he loves? And the only way that could happen was by the wisdom of God, where God became a human being. And that human being God became is who we call Jesus. And upon Jesus, one for all time, he put all the sin of the world, all the sin of the world at once, and put upon Jesus, and he dies the death we ought to die. Somebody say amen. And because of what Jesus did, now our sins have been taken away from the sight of God. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus became the sacrifice that God offered for himself so you and I can be saved. And that difference between religion and Christianity. Religion is man trying to do for himself to appease God. But Christianity is God providing the sacrifice for himself. And all you have to do is to put your trust, glory to God. I said, put your trust, not in what you can do, but in what he did. Now, praise God. All right. Praise God. Glory to God. Now, so that's the difference. Religion demands my work. Christianity says, put your trust in the work of another. I love Christianity. I hate religion. Religion says, present your work. Bring your work. And my work is not good enough. But God makes a way. He says, I'll do the work. All I need you to do is to put your trust in my work. And anybody who puts their trust in my work shall be saved. Glory to God. I say glory to God. And that's the demonstration of God's love. That you and I were enemies of God. We deserve to die, be separated from him. But God showed his love towards us. In that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. I like verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we're reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I don't know if you do it in Canada, but in Nigeria, we talk to our neighbor. So tell your neighbor, your sins are forgiven. By the sacrifice of Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. He provided a sacrifice. He provided a sacrifice. Religion demands your work. It demands your sacrifice. And there are people today still offering sacrifices. Maybe not animal sacrifices, but their works, thinking that God will be appeased by charity work, by I do this, I do that, I do that. Hoping, no, God doesn't need your work to be appeased. He provided his own work, the sacrifice of his son, and it demands everybody all over the world, put your faith in my son, look to him, and be saved. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory to God. I say glory to God. And so we see his love demonstrated by the forgiveness of our sins. And when we put our faith in him, we receive God's gift of righteousness. A man can only be made right with God, not by what he does, but by putting his trust in the sacrifice of Jesus. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." Verse 17, "For in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed," how God makes men right with himself. And it's from start to finish by faith. At no point in your walk with God will your works suffice for righteousness. At all times, it's the sacrifice of Jesus, my faith in the sacrifice of Jesus, that gives me a right standing, that gives me acceptance with God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. And it's that same sacrifice that sets me free from the power of sin. Not only does it give me right standing with God, that same sacrifice gives me freedom from sin's dominion. Oh, child of God, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 tells us how you and I became sinners because of Adam. Adam sinned at the beginning, he died spiritually. And in that condition, all of us born in Adam had the condition of sin. Can I ask you a question? And apart from Pastor Ernie and Pastor Diane, anybody here ever told a lie? How old were you when you told your first lie? Anybody taught you how to lie? Did anybody teach you? No, come, did anybody teach you? So where did it come from? Right there. Who put it there? Adam did. You see, I'm black. So black. My mom looked at me one day and said, "You're black." you know why I'm black? My daddy black. My mom a black. Right? There's no way I could have come out a white Canadian. No way. Because my mom and dad black. If I came out as a white Canadian, somebody to ask my mom some questions. And there's nothing I can do about it. Am I making sense to you? That's what Adam did to all of us. Adam sinned and died spiritually. And all of us who came through Adam had that condition. The only person who didn't have that condition is Jesus. He wasn't born by the seed of man. Glory to God. But you see, not having that condition is what qualified him to become our Savior. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. And now when you put your faith in Jesus, Bible says in Romans chapter 8, and I need to read that. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. I need to read that. Romans 8, verse 3, the Bible says, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." What's Paul teaching us here? That Jesus did not only come to forgive our sins, by his work on the cross, the power, the hold of sin was destroyed. Somebody say amen. Ephesians 2:10. "For we are God's workmanship. We are God's creation in Christ. Recreated in Christ Jesus for good works." Before Jesus came, before we put our faith in Jesus, we had a natural proclivity for evil because of the condition of spiritual death. By our faith in Jesus, now we are taken out of Adam, we are put in Christ. Just as we received all the negativity from Adam, we now receive everything positive from Christ. Somebody say amen. That's what Jesus came to do. These are all expressions of his love. One more time, tell the person beside you, your sins are forgiven by the sacrifice of Jesus. Hallelujah. Tell the person, you are freed from sin's power by the sacrifice of Jesus. Now, Romans 8:32, as I begin to close this. Romans 8:32. Hear what the Bible says. Romans 8:32. I like Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. It says, "God, who did not spare his own son." Watch it. "Who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also Watch that word. Along with him, freely give us how many things? All things. Not the word freely. If it's coming from God, it must be free. If it's coming from God, it must be free. That's why it's called grace. Everything God does is because of his grace. And if it's grace, then it's free. Now, I like what's cheap, but I prefer what's free. I like cheap, but I prefer free. How many of you like free? Oh, yeah, I love free. Now, God does everything free. So if I have to exchange something for it, that is not God. There is nothing God demands from me. Oh, I love this. God doesn't demand from me to do for me. You hear what I just said? God doesn't demand from me to do for me. Everything he does for me, it's free because that's who God is. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, glory to God. Now, watch what the Bible says. And when God, he does spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, watch it now, along with him. If I'm in Africa, I will tell you to say the same words. Say with me, along with him. Now, what does that mean in English? Along with him. Now, in Africa, let me say it like this. I'm sure it happens here too. When you buy a new device, let's say, for example, you buy maybe an iPhone. iPhone? Good. Now, back in the day, I don't know what happens now because AI is taking over everything. Back in the day, when you buy a new iPhone, in the box of the iPhone, you'll find a charger, you'll find the battery, you'll find, headphones, all in the box. Now, do you buy those things separately from the phone? Talk to me. Did you buy the phone and buy those other parts of the phone separately? You bought the phone and everything was in the box. Is that correct? Yeah, that's the story here. So when God gave Jesus everything, oh, I love this. Everything, say everything. Everything you would ever need was in the box. So rather than complain, tell your neighbor, check the box. Check the box. Oh, just check the box. It's right there. Healing came with Jesus. Favor came with Jesus. Power came with Jesus. Wisdom came with Jesus. So what do I say? I have Jesus. I have everything. Hallelujah. I have Jesus. I have favor. I have Jesus. I have wisdom. I have Jesus. All of God's blessings he gave along with. So I don't have to pay for it. It's already given, and it's a free gift of God. Is somebody hearing what I'm teaching right now? And that's the truth. Now, religion tells you to, yes, Jesus has come to you, but religion says, oh, you have to now also buy or purchase the free things that came with Jesus. No, it's given already. Receive it. If I put my faith in Jesus, all things came. So I say it like this. This is so good. There is nothing God has to give or do that he hasn't given or done in Christ Jesus. You know what I just said? There's nothing God needs to give or do that he hasn't given or done already in Christ Jesus. You say, how do you know that? Ephesians 1 verse 3. What did the Bible say? Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Say all. I took my daughter some years ago when she was 3. I took her to Toys R Us in Maryland. And she was 3 years old. I said, Abby, you know the Toys R Us stores, like big stores full of toys. Like this one was massive in Maryland, massive in the US. She was just running through all the aisles, like screaming. I was trying to hold her down. I said, Abby, choose one. Said, Daddy, I want all. was confused. Abby, you can't take the. He said, Dad, I can't pick. I'm confused. I can't pick anything. I want all that. Child of God, all has been given to you.
Amen.
Everything is yours. With Jesus, when God gave Jesus, along with Jesus, he gave you everything. And if you believe that you have Jesus, I also want you to believe and know that you have all things. So Paul's prayer, as I close, hear this. Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesians 1 was not for God to do something for them, but rather that God should open their eyes to see. Ephesians 1 from verse 15, what did Paul say? From what I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, because the evidence of true faith is love for God's people. When I heard for your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I did not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling, that you may know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, that you may know the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, that you may know. Why? Because it's already given. As it's already given. Oh, 2 Peter 1 verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. For God has given to us all things. He has given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Given. You taught us English, right? given. What does given mean? What he's going to give? Or what he just gave?
What he has given,
like he gave it. Glory to God. And he came with Jesus. When I put my faith in Jesus, he gave me all things. So how do I respond to that? With thanksgiving. Father, thank you that with Jesus I have all things. Then I say, Father, open my eyes to see all you have given to me in Christ Jesus. Because when I see it, when I see it in my mind, in my consciousness, I'm able to walk into it. Hallelujah. 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 And one of the beautiful things about this is to know that God now receives us as his sons. He now receives us as his children. 1 John 3, what manner of love is this that the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? That God has received me as he has received Jesus. Put it on your chest and say to yourself, say, God has received me as he has received Jesus. I am to God as Jesus is to him. He's son of God. I'm son of God. And that's the truth. That's the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, the Bible says. God is faithful, the Bible says. By whom you were called unto the fellowship of his son. What does that mean? He has called you and I to share. Say to share. Everything Jesus has and Jesus is. And this is all because he loves you. There's nothing you could have done to make him do this. He did this because he loves you. Praise the Lord. Can I pray? I can pray. Do we stand? Do we sit? How do we pray?
Whatever you want.
Well, can we stand? Let's pray. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I have to get used to the culture. Praise God. Now, you know, this what I'm sharing with you changed my life. I read in my Bible in John chapter 16 and verse 26. John chapter 16 and verse 26. The Bible says that Jesus was speaking about the day of the Spirit after Christ, he dies and resurrects. He's speaking of that time. Now, hear what it says in verse 26. He says, at that time, let's look at the last part of it. At that time, you will ask, pray in my name. Watch this. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for it will be what? Unnecessary. Think about it. Why will Jesus say, him speaking to the Father on my behalf is unnecessary? Why? Because the access he has is the access I have. The Father loves him. The Father loves me the way the Father loves him. So there's no need for him to tell the Father what I can tell the Father, because the Father will respond the same way. I love this. Why? Now hear what it says. It will be necessary. Why? For the Father himself tenderly loves you because you have loved me and have believed I came out of the Father. He was saying to them, hey, the only reason why God will answer your prayer is because he loves you. And religion doesn't like that. Religion tells you, no, it's too simple. You have to do something. You have to make, let me say it like this. You know, in Africa, the king can testify to this, and the queen. If the, what do you call it here, medicine or drug or medication. There's no guy in Tatum and call it drugs, not drugs. Medicine. So in Africa, pastor, if the medicine is bitter, like to your tongue, your taste buds, we believe it's working. If it's not bitter, No. We are that tough. Yeah, we are that, I'm serious. We're that tough. If you taste the medicine and it's sweet, oh no, this is not good. But when it's bitter, yeah, this is working, this is real. and so that's how we're wired. And we bring that to church, to God. Because we think it must be difficult and tough and hard. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Learn of me. Learn of me. He said, look at me. See how my Father relates with me and I relate with my Father. That's your model. That's your pattern. Because as you are, as I am to him, you are to him. Hallelujah. Can you just say a word of prayer to where you are? I've told you now that God responds to you as he responds to Jesus. What would you ask the Father to do? What do you want the Father to do? You hear what I said? The Father responds to you as if Jesus was the one speaking to him. Now, what would you tell the Father? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the challenge is in your life, but I assure you, speak to the Father now and tell him what you want him to do. He will respond to you as if Jesus was the one talking. Can we say a word of prayer right now? Just close your eyes and talk to your Father wherever you are. I don't know what your challenge is. I don't know what your concern is. I don't know what your pain is. I don't know what your worry is, but I came to tell you the Father loves you just as he loves Jesus and will respond to you as if Jesus was the one speaking to him.
We have no questions for Q&A, but I have a question for you. I'd love to have the bishop preach for another hour, but would we invite him back?
Yes.
Amen. And we want to thank him. Yeah. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Praise God, ready to come up.